بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، today بإذن الله تعالى we begin discussing a new topic and a new issue, and we have a new title for the subject that we are studying. And it is حالُ العربي قبل البعثة. حالُ العربي قبل البعثة. The condition and the situation of the Arab before the coming of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Before the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we're going to begin with this point here, the beginning of the timeline. So therefore, what we mean by حال العرب قبل البعثة, the state of the Arab before the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, meaning before he was born. Before he was born, and even that was their state after he was born, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But we want to know what they were upon and what the people were upon before the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So beginning his timeline, we begin with the year that he was born, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What year was that? عام الفيل, the year of the elephant. And this is a great event, an occurrence that occurred just before the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Before he was born on the same year, there was a great thing that happened in Mecca and with the Arab in Yemen and in Mecca and in that area. But before we discuss this issue, it has been narrated by Imam Muslim authentically from the Prophet that he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna allaha nadhara ila ahli al-ardi famaqatahum arabahum wa ajamahum illa baqaya min ahli al-kitab. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he looked to the people of the earth. This is before the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he seen the people of the earth, and he hated all of them. Allah Azza wa Jal, he looked at the people of the earth, and he detested all of them, the Arab and the non-Arab, except for a small remainder of people who were from the people of the book. And except for a small group of people remaining upon the correct deen of the previous prophets before, without changing that. So this means that not only the state of the Arab, but rather all of mankind, before the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they were in misguidance. And the deen of the prophets and messengers had been lost almost entirely, except for amongst a small group of people on earth. And that darkness had covered the earth, darkness of misguidance and darkness of disbelief and sin and darkness of shirk and associating partners with Allah. And all of the people, they were misguided and upon a corrupt way, except for a small group of people left from the people of the book, and that were holding fast to the revelation that had been revealed to the previous prophets without changing it. The time before prophethood, and even before the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, all of this time is known as Asr al-Jahili. Naam, or it's also known as Al-Jahiliyyah. Al-Jahiliyyah meaning the days of ignorance, before there was any revelation or any guidance from Allah Azza wa Jal. And it was known as Al-Jahiliyyah because the people had turned away from the revelation, and they had turned away from the ways of the prophets before them, and the deen had been corrupted amongst the people, and they were upon ignorance, and they were upon evil, and they were upon foulness. The people before the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even before he was born, the Arabs, they were upon jahiliyyah, and they used to drink alcohol. And after he was born too, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to drink alcohol. In Mecca and all in those areas, they drank alcohol a whole lot. And they also used to take interest, and they used to gamble, and they used to have bad mouth, and they used to do so many bad things. The people in Mecca and all around Mecca, they were really, really bad. They were in jahiliyyah. They were upon ignorance and bad, bad way. And they were in a state of evil and badness in their manners and in their society. And they used to be mean to women. And they used to be mean to kids. And they used to do many bad things. And from them, they used to, even sometimes they would kill their own children, because they are afraid that their children will eat up their food. They used to kill their children because they are afraid that their children will eat with them. And Allah, He mentioned about that, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ خَشَةَ إِمْلَاقٍ نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُوهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ إِنَّ قَتْلَهُمْ كَانَ خِطَأً كَبِيرًا. And after the revelation came, Allah, He mentioned about this affair that they were upon before the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do not kill your children out of fear of poverty. Now we will provide for them and for you. Verily, killing them is a great, great sin. So from the things that the Arab were upon before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that they used to kill their children sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes. If they're afraid that their children are going to eat up their food, they'll kill them. Iyadhan billah. Even some of the bad things that they used to be upon, they used to bury some of their kids alive. But only not only any kids, but the girls. They used to not like to have girls. And they used to, if they had girls, they used to bury them alive. They were so mean. And Allah, He spoke about this in the Quran. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. Whenever the young girl that was buried alive, she's going to be asked on the day of resurrection, why was she killed? Why was she killed? And if we read into the history of the affairs of the Arabs, we will find some things that they used to do that will bring tears to one's eyes because of how they used to treat their children like this. Sometimes they're afraid that they will eat with them, and they're afraid that their children will eat their food up and make them poor. They'll kill them. Other times they're afraid that their daughters would shame them, so they would bury them alive. And they were very mean like this. And they were very misguided. And this is something that not all of the Arabs did, burying their children, burying their daughters, but some of them would do that. Some of them would do that. From every tribe, a few of them would do that. And a lot of them would not do that, but this was known amongst them. Naam, that they were upon this bad, bad, bad way. And they also, in the time of Jahiliyyah, they also used to, worse than all of that, they used to associate partners with Allah. And they used to worship idols besides Allah. And they used to take intercessors along with Allah Azza wa Jal and worship them and prostrate before them and slaughter for them and swear by their names. And this was the worst of that which they were upon. This is the worst of that which they were upon. From their evil way is their shirk with Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is what the general state of the Arab in the times of al-Jahiliyyah. Ma man al-Jahiliyyah? Ayyam al-Jahiliyyah, the days of ignorance. What do we mean by the days of ignorance? The days before?
The days before the Prophet was alive.
Before the Prophet was alive, before he was sent as a prophet. Because we see after he's born, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he lived for many years before he became a prophet. So the days of ignorance, they're the days before the prophethood. The days before the revelation and the guidance came. Okay? Not the days only before he was born, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the days before he came as a messenger. Because remember, his name's Al-Fatih. And after he came, what did he do? Those blind eyes and those ignorant hearts, they were released. And the people could see. And the people could hear. And they could understand and comprehend the truth. And the light of Islam, it spread all through the lands. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, by the permission of Allah, he rectified all of that. And they stopped drinking alcohol. And they stopped killing their children. And they stopped burying their daughters. And they became very nice. Rather, they became from the best of the people. Rather, they were the best people. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali, Ibn Mas'ud, and the rest of them, radiallahu anhum, they became the best people. Radiallahu anhum jami'an. So what we want to know now is, in general, what they were upon. The days of ignorance, and al-jahiliyyah, the time of al-jahiliyyah, is the time, they call it the pre-Islamic era. Any meaning before the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with guidance from Allah. Before the messengership and the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, these were the days of jahiliyyah, the days of ignorance, the days before they had guidance, the days before they had the understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah in their lives. Huh? We good? So after the coming of the Prophet, we'll see that many of the Arabs, they stayed upon jahiliyyah. And they preferred the ways of al-jahiliyyah, and they did not leave their ways. Now, but in general now, we're talking about what? Before the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they were upon that jahiliyyah too. And there's one great, great event that happened, just before the Prophet was born, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it was the event of the elephant. The great event that happened with the elephant. Who knows something about that? Did Allah mention this event in the Quran? Mm-hmm. How do you say, كيف تقول elephant in English? How do you say elephant in English? I mean, بالعربية. كيف تقول elephant بالعربية? Huh? فيل. فيل. نعم. فيل. نعم. وما جمع فيل? فيلاتون. 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 على وزن ها فعلة نعم فعلة طيب who knows something from the Quran about this event
that Allah sent the birds
Allahumma barik what chapter is that do you know that surah what surah is that Al-Fil who knows that surah You? MashaAllah. Can you recite it?
With looking?
La bats. What did Allah say about that? Did you not see what happened to the people of the field? Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashab al-fil? That there were people of the field. Who is ashab al-fil? Who are the people of the field? This is what we want to discuss now. And we ask Allah to make it beneficial for us. But in studying the story of the fil, qissah, al-fil, or hadith al-fil, the event and the occurrence that happened with the elephants. Now we want to learn some lessons. And the greatest lesson that we want to learn now is to understand what the Mushrikun were upon in their deen before the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Just before the Prophet was born sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who was in charge of Mecca? Who was in charge of Mecca? Whenever the Prophet was born sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or right before he was born, who was? Naam, Abdul Muttalib. Ahsan. Naam, somebody online is answering. Pay attention. Abdul Muttalib, he was the one in charge. This is one thing. Okay, even at that time, we know that in the Kaaba, they still had some remnants of the deen of Ibrahim, alayhi salam. Although they made shirk, and although they worshiped idols, they still had the knowledge of Ibrahim, alayhi salam, and his deen, but they corrupted it. They corrupted it, and they had introduced shirk into it, but they still used to make hajj. They used to make hajj, and they had pilgrims that would come to the Kaaba, and the likes like this every year and every season. And Mecca used to benefit a lot from that, from the people coming from outside, bringing in business and bringing in money and bringing in other items and stuff. And the things like this, it was very beneficial for their economy and for their money also. For their money also. And they used to have many idols. Even it's been mentioned 360 idols at the Kaaba. 360 fake, false, made-up gods they made with their hands at the Kaaba. They used to worship all of them. And then they had a big one, he's the leader of them, they used to worship all of them like this. And this is what they believed, and they believed in their different idols and their different gods. This is before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. There was, at that time, in Ethiopia is known as Al-Habasha. There was a great king. And the kings of Ethiopia, of Al-Habasha, their name is An-Najashi. So there, Najashi, it means the king of Ethiopia. Huh? Maliku Al-Habasha. So we'll see that there are more than one Najashi. So the Najashi here that is being talked about is the one before the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Najashi, what does Najashi mean? The king of Maliku Al-Habasha. Malik Al-Habasha, the king of Ethiopia. That's his title. He's called Najashi. We will see, inshallah, in our studies that there was a Najashi later that became very good. And he accepted Islam. But right now we're talking about one of the kings of Ethiopia, Maliku al-Habasha, al-Najashi. And he was a Christian. And they had much territory and power. And even they had some rule over at Yemen. And this time, before the coming of the Prophet, or before the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Najashi, he has ruled over Ethiopia, and even he had ruled over at Yemen. And he had appointed a ruler over Yemen. He's the king of Yemen, but he's under the rule of a Najashi. And the king of Yemen, what was his name? Abraha. Abraha al-Ashram. Abraha al-Ashram. These occurrences are before the birth of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Naam. And this event that is occurring now is occurring in the year the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. And this is why it's called Am al-Fil, the year of the elephant. Because in the times back then, this was over 1,000 years ago. They didn't have calendars like we have and way to measure the days and to know or keep track of the days and the years in the manner that we do today. So they used to keep track of the years by major events that occurred in the year. So something that was major that happened that year was the issue of the elephant. Maybe there would be another event in another year that happened, there was a drought. It would be known as the year of the drought. Or another year that a major event occurred in it, it would be the year of this or the year of that. They would know the years by way of events, major events that occurred in those years. They didn't memorize them like we do today. This is the year 1442, like this, and this manner, like this. They used to memorize and keep track of the date by great events that happened in those days. So here we have the year of the elephant. Abraha al-Ashram. He wanted to honor the king of Al-Habasha. And he also wanted to get some money. And he wanted to help the Ethiopians in their rule. And he had a great idea, he thought. He wanted to build a great church and place of worship and make it so big that nobody ever seen anything like it. How huge it was. And he wanted to do this to honor his king, the king of Al-Habasha, Al-Najashi. And also, you know what he wanted? He wanted to turn the Arabs away from the Kaaba and to come to him. And so that all of the goods and all of the money and all of the trade and commerce that goes to Mecca will come to Yemen. And it will come to them. So he wanted to turn all the people away from the Kaaba. And he wanted everybody to come to his church that he built. And to honor the king of Al-Habasha. And this was his plan. And he told An-Najashi, and An-Najashi agreed. And then Abraha, he built a big building. A big church. And they said it was the biggest thing. Nobody seen anything like it in that time. It was so huge. And then he wrote to An-Najashi. He says, I built the biggest place of worship for you and respecting you. And I will not stop with this endeavor. Or I will not stop doing this all the way until I turn all of the Arabs away from the Kaaba and they come to me. And they come to your church in Yemen. And all of the commerce and trade and business and all of the worshippers and pilgrims, instead of going to the Kaaba, they're going to come to Yemen. And this was in Sana'a. Sana'a is in Yemen. In Yemen. Okay. You know, the Arabs, even though they were upon Jahiliyyah and they're upon Shirk, they still love the Kaaba. And they know that it is their great-grandfather Ibrahim who built that Kaaba. And also his son Ismail. So whenever they heard about this plot from Abraha, they did not like that. He's going to turn us away from the Kaaba, and the home of our great-grandfather, the house of Allah? No way. They got very upset. You know what one of them did? He rode all the way to Yemen. And one of the Arab from Mecca, he rode all the way to Yemen. And whenever he seen that church, he went inside. And he did number two inside the church. Inside Najashi's big giant church, and he's gonna make everybody come there, and they're gonna turn away from the Kaaba. And that man, he said, no way, I'm not gonna do that. He came all the way down to that church, and then he poo-pooed inside of it. And then after that, he wiped the walls, and he put all this dirt and filth and Najashi all over the walls, and he left. Whenever Abraha, he found out about this. Who did this? They said it's the Arabs. The Arabs did it. Oh, he became so mad. This was his great, great church. He spent all this money and time building it for his Najashi and everything like this. And he had such great plans. And this man came and put all this filth everywhere and ruined it. Oh, he's so mad. You know what he said? He said he's going to go to Mecca and he's going to destroy the Kaaba. He's going to go to Mecca and he's going to destroy the Kaaba. You know what Abraha did? Abraha at Ashram. What did he do? He got a great, great, great army. This time he's mad. The Arabs, they did this. He said, I'm going to Mecca. He's going to tear up the Kaaba and destroy it. And nobody's going to stop him. So he got a bunch of elephants. About 13 elephants and one real, real big elephant for him. And he called him Mahmud. And they got a big army and they start going from Yemen all the way to go to Mecca. And whenever the Arabs of Yemen heard about this, oh man, they didn't like that. He's going to go to the Kaaba and destroy the Kaaba. That's what he thinks. Oh, they got together in Yemen, the Arabs of Yemen, with a leader named Dhu Nafr. And they got together and they're, man, he's not going to come to the Kaaba and destroy the Kaaba. And they fought him. You know what Abraha did to them? Wiped them out. Abraha destroyed them. In Yemen, the Arabs in Yemen, they tried to defend the Kaaba. They said, no, he's not going to go to the Kaaba. Who does he think he is? They tried to stand in front of the elephants and in front of that army. Abraha's army destroyed them. And their leader, Dhu Nafr, he was left and he was about to be killed. And he was like, no, don't kill me. Maybe you can benefit from me. I'll help you. So Dhu Nafr, he's riding along now. Dhu Nafr from Yemen, he's riding along with Abraha. But he's like a slave. But he's just trying to stay alive. And then they're traveling, and they come to some more, another tribe, Khath'am. And whenever they get there, the people of Khath'am, they said, man, he's coming to do what? He's going to destroy the Kaaba. No. So they get their tribe together, the tribe of Khath'am, and they all get ready to fight. And they fight them. No standing in the front. And they fight them. And then after that, the leader of them, his name is Nufail ibn Habib al-Khath'ami. He says, no, don't kill me. I know the way. I know the way through these lands. I know the path really good. I'll lead you to the Kaaba. So instead of killing the leader, Nufail, now he became the guide for the army of Abraha. Naam, and he's along with Dhunafr. Okay, so Nufail, he's the guide leading them now. And now they're getting real close. They're getting real close to Mecca. Right before Mecca, coming from the south, there's a city called At-Ta'if. They call it At-Ta'if. In Ta'if, there's a tribe of Thaqif. Whenever they come to Banu Thaqif, they looked at the army. They're like, man, we can't do nothing about this. They're like, no, what are you? We'll be your slaves. They submit immediately. They knew that they have no ability to do anything to the army of Abraha. So they just went along with them, and they did not even put up a fight. So the army of Abraha is huge. They have these big elephants, and the people are like, oh, when they see these elephants and all these soldiers and all these warriors and people ready to fight, they're like, oh man, this is a huge army. And they're marching and marching and marching, and they're getting close to the Kaaba. Whenever they get close to Mecca, they're in a valley, and then they see all these camels, about 200 camels. Abraha, he said, man, get those camels. They snatched up the camels. You know who those camels belong to? They're right by Mecca now. In this valley, there's all these 200 camels. Camels are very expensive, and from the best of the wealth of the Arabs specifically. They make lots of money from camels. What did he do? Abraha do? He stole 200 camels. All those 200, let's take those. Those are ours now. He just took them. And then he was very close to Mecca. He sent a messenger. He said, go to Mecca and you find the leader and you talk to him. And you tell him that we don't want to fight you. We don't want to have to kill you. We don't want to have to beat you up. All we want to do is tear down the Kaaba and we'll leave. No problem. You just get out of our way and you let us do what we're going to do. And you and your families and your friends can be okay and we won't even harm you. But we're coming to destroy the Kaaba. That's what he said. So they told Abdul Muttalib, and Abdul Muttalib, he was a friend of Dhunafr from Yemen. So he sent to Dhunafr, he said, tell him, let me talk to him. Won't you let me talk to him? So Dhunafr, he knows the one who's leading the camel, the one who's driving the elephant. His name is Unais. So he talked to him and said, well, let my friend come talk to Abraha. So Abraha, he talked to him. He said, okay, let him come. So Abdul Muttalib, he came. He came to the army and he came to Abraha. And whenever Abraha, he seen Abdul Muttalib, remember Abdul Muttalib, what was his name? Shaybat? Al-Hamd. He was handsome and he was strong and he looked very good and the likes like this. And whenever Abraha seen Abdul Muttalib, he said, oh man, this guy's serious. He came down. He didn't want to let Abdul Muttalib sit with him on his throne, and he didn't want to make Abdul Muttalib sit by himself. So he wanted to honor him. So he came down and he sat with him. He came down and sat with them, and he was having so much respect when he seen him. He was like, oh, this guy, he's a real leader. Okay, I'm going to talk to him with respect and tell him what we're going to do. And then whenever they're talking, he said, okay, what do you want? What would you like? You want to say something to me? Huh? And Abdul Muttalib, he said, yeah, actually those 200 camels are mine. Can you give them back, please? Can you give him back? You know what Abraha did? He was like, what? 200 camels? He's like, I'm coming here to destroy the house, your house and the house of your forefathers, and we're going to destroy it and drop it to the ground. And you talking about camels? He's like, I used to have so much respect for you, but now you're talking about camels. I came to destroy the most precious thing in your land? Oh, man, you can have the camels back. And then he said, "You're not worried about the Kaaba." This is a very important point. You know what? Abdul Muttalib did. Is Abdul Muttalib Muslim? No way. Was Abdul Muttalib really upon the Deen of Ibrahim? No way. Was he a Hanif? No way. What was he? Huh? Mushrik. He was a mushrik. He worshipped Ka'bah. He was a leader of the Kaaba, the leader of the idol worshippers. He was the leader of the pagans. But the thing that we want to learn now is, what was their real deen? What was the real deen of the mushrikeen and the pagans? Because at this time, whenever he's really scared, scared for his life and scared for his family and for his tribesmen and scared for everything in Mecca. He don't know what he's going to do. He's looking at these elephants and looking at this army and this man who's really been, he's ready to destroy the Kaaba. And somebody did that to his church and he knows what's going on. He doesn't have nothing to do. Now what does he say? He said, أنا رب الإبل والبيت له رب يحمي. He said, as for me, I'm the Lord of the camels, meaning I'm the caretaker of the camels. And as for that house, it has a Lord that's going to protect it. And then you know what he did? You know what he did? He started making dua. At this time, did he make dua to the idols? Did he make dua to the idols in the camels? No, at this time, right now, it's serious. Right now, he's in danger. He needs help. He started making dua to Allah. Oh Allah, protect the house. Oh Allah, protect your house. Oh Allah, help us, help us, help us. Protect your house. Abdul Muttalib, at this time, he became mukhlis. He's making dua for Allah alone. You know why? Because he knows now that these idols can't help him. He knows now that those stones are just rocks and they can't benefit him. And now it's serious. Right now it's getting serious. There's some real danger coming on. He started calling on Allah alone. How did istinsar? Allahumma surna. Oh Allah, help us. Oh Allah, help us. Then he went back to his tribesmen in Mecca. He said, men, just run. Go up in the mountains. Run to the mountains. Get out of here. They're coming. There's nothing we can do. Go to the mountains. They took all their people and good your women and go to the mountains. They left Mecca empty. Abraha, he said, let's go. You know what Abraha did? He said, let's go. They told the count, he told the elephant, go to Mecca. You know, they start going, start going, start going. Then they get close. You know what happened to the camel? What happened to the elephant? He hit the brakes. He won't go forward no more. None of the elephants, they just stop. They just stop. They won't go towards Mecca. When they get right close to Mecca, they won't even go any further. They stop. They stop outside of Mecca. And they're like, what's wrong with you? Mahmoud, go. Go, elephants, go. Like, no, I'm not going. The elephants just stand there. They turn the elephant to the side. Okay, he starts taking off. They stop him. Go that way. No, he won't go that way. We turn the elephant to the other side. He'll start going that way. They turn the elephant back to Yemen. He start running. Wait. Go that way. The elephant, he will not go. The elephant will not go to the Kaaba. The elephant will not go to the direction of the Kaaba. They just all stop there. And then soon after that, you know what happened? All of a sudden, these birds started coming from the coast. These birds and the birds they have in their claws, rocks. And in their mouth and their beak, rocks. They have three rocks. And you know what? They're not big rocks. They're little bitty rocks like hummus. Like a bean. But these rocks, they came and they start, these birds coming in big flocks, flock after flock after so many birds, and they're throwing rocks on the heads of Abraha and his people. And these rocks, they're like from baked clay. And they're hard. And whenever they hit them, they wipe them out and they burn them. And their skin burst and it's hurting them. And they start running. They're like, whoa, get out of here. Run. And then they start fleeing away. They're like, where's Nufail? Nufail, which way do we go? Nufail, right? Remember Nufail? From Kothar. Where do we go? And say, man, I'm not helping you guys. Get out of here, man. Get out of here. He left them, and they're fleeing, they're running, they don't know where to go. They got rocks psh, psh, hitting them. Even some of them, they said that the rock, if it hit him, it goes in his head and out his bottom. Some of them. And the head, and the rock is smashing on Abraha, and their skin is bursting, and they're getting hurt so bad. And they're fleeing and running away. And then some of them, they get away, and some of them don't get away. And then even before Abraha can get back to Yemen, his hands are falling apart because there's like disease or something. Allah made him so sick, and he started dying really slow. And his fingers is getting all rotten and everything. And then after that, his chest split open and he died and he was humiliated and the Kaaba was safe. And the Kaaba was safe. And the people of Mecca were safe. And Allah protected his house. And the point that we want to learn here is that although those people of Mecca, they were mushrikun in times of difficulty, they really worship Allah alone. And this means also that the people in Jahiliyyah, they had idols, but they did not believe that their idols created anything. And they did not believe that their idols provide for them. And they did not believe that their idols give them life and death. They did not believe these things, but they believed that their idols were only intercessors. And whenever things got real hard and real scary, they left their idols and they worship Allah alone. They left their idols and they worship Allah alone. Just like we have here in the example of Abdul Muttalib. What did he do whenever it's all good? What did they do? Worshipping idols, having these different idols and different gods and calling on them and worshipping them and slaughtering for them. But whenever whenever it gets real tough and scary, what do they do to their idols? Yeah, get out of here. Allah, 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 help me, Allah. They become sincere. They become sincere. Also, it was mentioned that whenever Abdul Muttalib, he got the camels back, he set them all free for the sake of Allah. Or he set them all to be slaughtered, for the sake of Allah. And to be sacrificed, all of them, for the sake of Allah. But in any case, the point is that Allah Azza wa Jal, he protected his Kaaba. And this was an event in preparation for the coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Arabs, they will remember the right of this home, and likewise the power of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that he helps whom he wills and he aids whom he wills, and that nothing happens except with his permission, and that he is the only one who's worthy of worship. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.